Let me invite you to find with me the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 5 is where we will be looking at this morning, and I hope that you have a Bible and you can find that with me today. And before I say anything else this morning, let me just say that there is no joy that is greater than knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing can take that away. Nothing can change that. And we rejoice in who Jesus is. And a close second to that joy is what occurred last evening in the Virginia football basketball game. We don't talk about football, but basketball game. So we rejoiced at my house, and I had several people text me and call me and said, "What are you going to wear today?" And I thought about it for a while, and I just said, "You know what? I'm not going to change anything." It worked out great last week. I don't want to change anything. So going back with the bow tie today, and hopefully, you know, things will work out great tomorrow night. And then we'll, I don't know about next Sunday. We'll have to wait and see about that one. But we do rejoice in who God is. We rejoice in the small things in life, as well as the big things in life. I'll explain why I'm a UVA fan later. Not right now. But I was thinking about that earlier today. Somebody said to me, "Why are you a UVA fan? You're from Roanoke. You know, Roanoke's 30 minutes away from Virginia Tech." And so I was like, "Well, there's a backstory to it, but I'll share with you later." All right, so, but it does have something to do with basketball and a tall guy named Ralph Sampson. Anybody know who that is? So that's part of the story. So anyway, we'll get to the text, and if they win tomorrow night, I'll share the rest of the story next week. Okay, so just be prepared for that. But Mark chapter 5 is where we're going to look at today as we turn our attention to what it means to have living hope. And this is the theme of, really, it's the theme for the whole year, and especially for the next several weeks as we prepare our hearts for Easter praise. And I hope that you have been reading with me the daily devotional guide. I hope that you've had opportunity throughout the week to read that and to pray that prayer, to read that scripture. It really, I think, has helped me to focus my attention on the hope that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? And we do rejoice in the hope that God gives to us, the hope that He gives to us in all things, and especially over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at three specific ways that Jesus gives us hope. Today, we're going to talk about hope for the hurting. Hope for the hurting. Next week, we're going to talk about hope for the sinner and how Jesus gives us and provides for us forgiveness. And then on Easter Sunday, we are going to talk about hope for the dying and how Jesus Christ gives us hope even in the midst of death. And I hope that you'll be in prayer for us as we gather together in the next several Sundays as we worship the Lord together. So if you have your Bibles, let's look at Mark chapter 5. I know that if you attend our Bible fellowship classes, I hope that you do. You've been studying the Gospel of Mark together. And a few weeks ago in your classes, you looked at Mark chapter 5. But today we're going to dive in a little bit deeper into Mark chapter 5. So let's stand together and honor reading God's Word. And I'm just going to begin, for the sake of time, I'm just going to begin by reading verses 1 through 13. The Bible says this: "Then came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces." Can you imagine the strength that it took to do that? "No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains. He was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, God, that your word is powerful. Your word is alive. Your word is active, sharper than a two-edged sword. God, I pray that you would allow your word to speak to our hearts this morning. God, that we pray for those who are in our midst today who are hurting. We pray, Father, that they would experience the hope that only Jesus Christ can bring to them. So, Father, I pray that you would help us today to hear from you, from this passage of Scripture, all the things that you want us to know and to hear. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Mark chapter 5 is a fascinating book or chapter in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 5 has been called the Bible home for the incurables. The Bible home for the incurables. This chapter describes three cases that are absolutely, humanly speaking, incurable. There's the demoniac man that we just read about. There's the diseased girl, and there's the dead girl. All three were considered to be impossible cases in the Lord's day and probably would be considered impossible cases in our day. When you stop and think about it, the man who we just read about probably would have been sent to a mental institution. The woman that we're going to read about in a few moments who came up behind Jesus and touched the hem of his garments, she probably would have been sent to some terminal care facility. The dead girl that Jesus was able to raise up from the dead, she certainly would have been sent to a burial in a cemetery somewhere. And so every one of these instances, every one of these individuals are incurable except for Jesus. Jesus is the one who brings hope into each of these situations. And I want you to know, friends, that Jesus still brings hope into our situations today. Hello? Jesus brings hope, friends. And I want you to see this clearly from God's Word. There's three instances, there's three individuals, and there's three ways in which Jesus brings hope. Number one, Jesus gives hope to the destructive. He gives hope to the destructive. Now, we talked about this man. We read about this man just a moment ago. This man, who is commonly referred to as Legion, was possessed by demons. His condition was dire. His condition was severe. This miserable man, one person said, is a picture of what it means to be lost without Jesus. It's a picture of what a life is like apart from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Just look at his condition. Look at his condition. The Jewish Talmud gave four signs of madness. One was walking about at nighttime. Two was spending the night at a gravesite. Three was tearing one's clothes. And four was destroying what one was given. And this man met all four of those criteria. He was a madman. He was controlled by a demon, and his situation, by all accounts, seemed to be hopeless. He was deranged. He was utterly depraved in his behavior. The people of his town had driven him away. He was defiled. He was defaced. He was descended into a life of filth and loneliness and separation from everyone. He was in need of hope. And then in walks Jesus. In walks Jesus. And I love the way Jesus talks to him and addresses him. As you read that passage of Scripture just a moment ago, the Bible says that he sees Jesus from a distance. He sees Jesus from a distance. And the madman does something that's surprising. The Bible says that he goes to him and he kneels down before him. I don't believe at this moment that this man was kneeling to Jesus as Lord, but he was kneeling before him because Jesus obviously had some authority. He had authority. He had heard about that and seen that. If you read through the Gospel of Mark, you see that Jesus has authority over nature. He has authority over the storm, and he has authority over many different things. And so this madman kneels down at Jesus' feet. And then Jesus begins to ask him a question. What is your name? Who are you? And the demons that are inside of him respond, we are legion. What does legion mean? Legion is a contingency of 6,000 Roman soldiers. And so most Bible commentators believe that this man was not possessed by just one demon, but by literally thousands of demons working as one evil force. His only hope was a liberator whose power and authority was greater than what was inside of him. And Jesus comes onto the scene. Look at verse 14. We stopped there, but the Bible says the herdsmen fled and told it to the city and to the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened, how this man who was a crazy, wild, deranged individual had the demons that he had given over to the pigs. And look at verse 15. And they came to Jesus, and they saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Notice what it says about this man in verse 15. There he was. The one who had the legion, past tense, right? He did not have the legion anymore, and now he is sitting. He's not pacing back and forth. He's not walking amongst the tombstones. No, he is sitting there. In all accounts, that means he was sitting there with the others. Now he's clothed, and he's in his right mind. Jesus did a work, didn't he? Jesus changed this man's life. He not only changed this man's life, but I believe he also changed this man's future. This man had no future whatsoever before Jesus came upon the scene. But once Jesus came upon the scene, and once he dealt with this man's destruction and the demons that he was possessed by, it changed his life and it changed his future. And I want you to know this morning, friends, that there is hope for those who are destructive. You may be here today, and you may be physically destructive. Physically destructive. You know, there are people today that are cutting themselves. There are people today that are trying to take their own lives. Suicide rates in America are at an all-time high. Now, I want you to know, dear friends, if you are in one of those situations this morning, I want you to know there's hope. I want you to know this morning, if you're a destructive person, if you're thinking about suicide, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to talk to someone. Find someone that you can talk to and help. Ask for their help. You see, one of the main issues that people have is they don't want to ask for help. Listen, there's nothing wrong with asking for help. Come to Jesus. Allow Jesus to give you that hope that only He can provide this morning. You might be, maybe you're not physically destructive, maybe you are relationally destructive. Maybe there's a relationship that you are dealing with in your family. Maybe there's a relationship that you're dealing with amongst your children or someone else that you know. Let me tell you something, friends. There is hope even in those relationships. There is hope in those relationships because the gospel of Jesus Christ is available this morning. And the gospel of Jesus Christ can change lives. It can change relationships. And so if you are destructive in one of those relationships, let me encourage you today that Jesus is hope. And He can give you hope. You might be here this morning and you are emotionally destructive. I know that there's been a lot that's been said about depression in the news these days. And I want you to know, friends, from the bottom of my heart, that I believe that depression is a serious business. And I want you to know that if you are dealing with depression this morning, that there is hope even in the midst of that depression. Jesus can give you hope today. Jesus gave this man, this demonic man, this man who was possessed by demons, He gave him hope and it changed his life, and He can change your life this morning. He gives hope for the destructive. But number two, He also gives hope to the diseased. He gives hope to the diseased. We find Jesus, after He dealt with this man, the Bible says in verse 21, when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about Him, and He was beside the sea. We are given an encounter here with a man by the name of Jairus, and we'll come back to him in just a moment. But I want you to skip down to verse 24. It says, and when He went with them, a great crowd followed Him and thronged about Him. He couldn't get away from the crowds. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians. And she had spent all that she had, and she was no better but grew worse. Do you think she was hopeless? Hello? Hello? Do you think she was hopeless? I'm going to get loud this morning, apparently. Y'all stayed up too late watching the games. She was hopeless. Listen to that. Listen to that again. Just think about it. Think about it. There was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. 12 years. Now, a lot of times we read that, we don't think much about it. But listen, understand the ceremonial uncleanness of that. I'm not going to go back and read all of the book of Leviticus this morning, but listen, that's for your devotion time. But Leviticus talks about the uncleanness of that issue. But I do want to read this. Listen to Numbers chapter 5. A person who had this issue of blood was ceremonial unclean. And listen to this. Numbers chapter 5, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, command the people of Israel that they put out of the camp everyone who is leprous or who has a discharge and everyone who is unclean through contact with the dead. She had a discharge. She was to be placed outside the camp. You shall put out both male and female, putting them outside the camp, that they may not defile their camp in the midst of which I dwell. And the people of Israel did so, and they put them outside the camp, as the Lord said to Moses, so the people of Israel did. She was outside the camp. Her disease, whatever it was, her disease caused her great pain, not just physically, but also emotionally. She was not allowed to be around other people. She was distanced from the temple. She was deprived of motherhood. She was deprived of all of these things. She was socially, emotionally scarred. She needed hope. She needed hope desperately. She was diseased, desperate, and destitute, one person said. Disease, desperate, and destitute. I think so many times we read this story and we don't understand the gravity of that situation. I don't understand the gravity of what she was going through, the years, 12 years. And then she, not only had she experienced this, but now she had given up all of her finances, everything that she had for physicians, and she was no better. No better. Until Jesus comes along. Until Jesus comes along. Look at verse 28. Let's give it, we'll look to verse 27. She had heard the reports about Jesus. Word had gotten around about Jesus. And so she came up behind him in the crowd, and she touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately, say immediately. Immediately, the flow of blood dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" His disciples said, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" The disciples were always, you know, a little skeptical, if you will. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Jesus gave her hope. Jesus provided the hope that she needed. She is instantly healed, and she knows it. She feels it. What extraordinary joy she must have experienced being well after 12 years of sickness, after 12 years of being destitute. She is now whole. The amazing grace of God through Jesus Christ has healed her body, just as it heals our soul when we place our faith in Him. And Jesus at once, "I don't understand this. I really don't understand this idea of Jesus perceiving that power had gone out from him. I don't quite get that, but for whatever reason, that's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus was experiencing. He experienced that power had gone out from him, and so he turns and he looks at her. And here's what I think happened. Jesus took upon himself the sickness, the uncleanness that he imparted to her purity and health. The suffering servant of Isaiah 53 strikes again. Jesus looks for the one who touched him in faith, and the woman falls down and confesses everything, and he welcomes her into his kingdom. He commends her for her faith. What a powerful story of hope. Think about how she came into that situation. Crowds were around her. She felt lost, hopeless, alone. And then she left with hope. She left with hope of healing and of restoration and being able to go back and face her family once again. Listen, I want you to understand this morning that Jesus is still in the business of giving hope for those who are diseased. Now, I don't want to stand here today and tell you that God's going to cure every single disease exactly the way that we happen to be praying for, because I believe that God is sovereign over all things, but I do believe that God is still in the miracle doing business. And just as He healed that woman and gave her hope, He can still do this very same thing in your life and your family's life this morning. He is there to give us hope. But you know what? It's not just physical disease that Jesus heals. It's also spiritual. It's spiritual disease that Jesus heals. You see, the Bible tells us that if we are separated from God, if we're separated from God, then we are lost. We have no hope. We have no hope of forgiveness. We have no hope of eternal life. We have no hope of spending eternity in heaven. If we are separated from God, if we have not confessed God of our sins and our need for Him, then we are hopeless, separated from Him forever. But the Bible says that Jesus has come into the world to forgive us of our sins and to give us hope. And if we will place our faith and our trust in Him and in Him alone, then He will forgive us of our sins. He will give us eternal life. He will heal our spiritual disease. He is the one who gives us hope. He's the one who gives us hope. And so we see this story unfolding in Mark chapter 5. We see Jesus touching the man who had the demons and giving him hope and giving him a new beginning and a new future. We see him with this woman as well, as she comes up behind him and he touches her, and or she touches him, and he gives her great hope. And then we come to the third person. And this is the one I want you to see. Look, Jesus gives hope to the distressed. He gives hope to the distressed. A lot of times when you read this passage of Scripture, there's a lot of focus on the girl who is healed, and we should focus on her. She is a very special person, and God and Jesus does a tremendous work in her life. But I want you to focus on her father for a moment. I want you to focus on her daddy. Being a dad, thinking about my daughters and what he must have been going through. I mean, it breaks my heart even thinking about that. Listen to chapter 5, verse 21. Jesus crossed again in the boat to the other side. A great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue. That means that Jairus was a man who was well respected. It means he was a man who was full of great prominence and great power. He was a ruler of the synagogue. And he saw Jesus, and he fell at his feet, and he implored him earnestly. Those two words, implored and earnestly, show us the intensity of this man. As he talks to Jesus, he implores him, and he's earnest. And he says, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And Jesus starts to go with Jairus. Notice Jairus comes to Jesus. Why does he come to Jesus? Because he believes that Jesus could do something that no one else could do. He's at the lowest point of his life. He is completely distressed. He comes humbly as a model for all of us to emulate. And his request was straight and to the point. It was delivered with urgency and dependency. And our Lord's response was immediate. He says, "I'm coming with you. I'm going to go with you." And so Jesus begins this journey to go to this man's house to take care of this little girl. And then he meets this woman. Isn't it interesting how Jesus stops going to Jairus' house, and we get this story of the woman that we just read about? It's almost like, you know, you're watching a television show, and you're really into the show, and then it comes on and says, "We interrupt this program to bring you an important message," right? And you're kind of frustrated. You're like, "I want to watch the show," but they bring this other message on, and that's what happens here. He's on his way to Jairus' house, but he gets stopped, and he doesn't ignore this current situation. He deals with this woman, and then he comes on in we continue reading here in verse 34 and 35. While I was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher? any further. But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only what?" Everybody say, "Believe." Can you imagine Jairus at this moment? I mean, you thought he was distressed before. He's even more distressed now. He's even more distressed now. I'm sure he was thinking to himself, this woman has been sick for 12 years. Surely Jesus could have waited 30 minutes to take care of her. But he doesn't. Jesus is interrupted. And he deals with the woman. And he shows compassion to her. But then he gets this news, this bad news that Jairus' daughter is dead and hope is suddenly gone. And Jesus responds to the bad news with a challenge. And I think it's a challenge for all of us. It's a challenge of belief. Despite all appearances, he says, "I'm neither distracted nor disinterested in your need." He says, "I will work in my time, not in other people's time. I will work in my time, not in other people's time. I will not be hurried. I will not be dictated to. I am the sovereign Lord over all things." And Jesus says, "Believe and watch what is about to happen." You see, so many times we try to dictate to God what we think should happen, don't we? I mean, I confess, I do that from time to time. God, I want this to happen, and I want it to happen when? Now. And sometimes we need to be reminded that God is the one who is sovereign, not me. God is the one who is in control over history, not me. And so that's what happens here. God's teaching Jairus. I think God's teaching the crowd. I think God is teaching all of us in this story that He is the one who is ultimately in control of all things. This is a powerful story of the sovereignty of God. And so we continue on, verse 37. He allowed no one to follow Him except Peter, James, and John. This is the first time that the inner circle is brought into this situation. They come to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion. People were weeping and wailing loudly. There was professional mourners that were called whenever there was a death such as this, and these professional mourners had come into the house, and they were weeping and wailing because, in all accounts, this girl had died. And when he entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but she is sleeping." And they laughed at him. They laughed at him. But he put them all outside, and he took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and he went in where the child was. And he took her by the hand, and he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And Mark's favorite word, the word "immediately." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. Jairus needed hope. And Jesus gave him hope that day. Jairus was distressed because his daughter was on the verge of death, even to the point that others looked at her and assumed and thought that she was dead. Professional mourners had been brought in. He was distressed beyond imagine. And Jesus comes into the situation, and he goes from being distressed to what? To being amazed. Praise God. Jesus still does the same thing today. I imagine this morning there are people that are here today that are distressed. Just a hunch, all right? Just a hunch. Auditorium this size, this many people, there are people that are here today that are distressed. You may be here today and you are distressed over a sickness. Maybe it's a sickness that you're dealing with, a sickness that someone else in your family or your friends are dealing with. I want you to know this morning that I believe that there is hope even today because of who Jesus is and the power of Jesus Christ. Maybe you are here today and you are distressed over a prodigal child. Maybe you're here today, you're distressed over a relationship that you are dealing with. Maybe you're here today, you're distressed over something else completely that I haven't even mentioned. You just know in your heart of hearts you are distressed. Let me encourage you today, friends, there is hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus came into this world and He lived a perfect and a sinless life. And Mark chapter 5 shows us the hope that is available, even to those that others looked at and said, there's no hope. You might be thinking this morning, there's no hope. How could I even expect hope? I want to share with you a psalm. If you want to turn there, you can. Psalm 42. A lot of times I will wrap up a sermon with a closing illustration. Today I want to do something different. I want to close by reading Psalm 42. Because Psalm 42 is a psalm about someone who was distressed. It's a psalm about someone who was discouraged. It's a psalm about someone who needed hope. And I want you to hear the first five verses of this psalm. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go from the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Listen to verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. Let's say that together. Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? And he answers that question, hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before You and we thank You for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank You, God, this morning that You have given us that living hope in Jesus. And God, I pray for my friends this morning. I pray for my church family that I love so very much. Lord, there are those that are here today who are, they're destructive. Or they're here today, God, they're distressed. Father, maybe they came into this room this morning beat down, discouraged, hopeless. God, I pray that today they can leave this place with the hope of Jesus Christ. I pray that today they can leave this place knowing, God, that even though there are those things around us that we cannot control, that we serve a God who is sovereign over all things. We serve a God who is in control and the God that we can put our hope in this morning. So, Father, I pray that you would help us today to understand and believe and trust in the hope of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you today. We pray that you'd work in our hearts and our lives for those who may be here today who need for the very first time to put their hope in God. I pray that today would be a day of salvation. I pray for believers that are here today who need to put their hope in God again, afresh and anew. Father, may you speak and may you work as we seek to apply this passage of Scripture, your word, to our lives. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing this invitation hymn. If God's spoken to your heart about a hopeless situation, maybe you're here today, you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe today's a day of salvation for you. I want to pray with you and help you to know Jesus. Maybe today you just want to come and